You heard of this thing, the 8-Minute Abs?
Yeah, sure, 8-Minute Abs. Yeah, the exercise video. Uh-huh.
Yeah, well, this is going to blow that right out of the water. Listen to this. 7-Minute Abs. Think about it. You walk into a video store, you see 8-Minute Abs sitting there. There's 7-Minute Abs right beside it. Which one are you going to pick, man?
I would go for the 7. Yeah, I'd go for the
Bingo, man, seven. Bingo. 7-Minute Abs. And we guarantee just as good a workout as the 8-Minute, folk.
In this episode of Northwest Nerd.
You know how I got into fitness? When I was in sixth grade, I loved She-Hulk and Wonder Woman.
Okay.
Back then, a woman with muscles was a freak. And it was like, why would you want to have muscles like a boy? People used to say that to me. And I used to be like, no. I want to look like that.
Hey there, I'm pop culture journalist Dyer Oxley, and I'm talking with Alicia Marie. And, okay, where to even start with Alicia? Marie, you may know her as a cosplayer, frequenting Comic-Cons. That's how I ran into her. We spoke at a previous Washington State SummerCon. But she's also a fitness expert and is known, or, you know, around the fitness scene. She's even a published author focused on a very niche fitness genre. She gets hired to create looks. And honestly, I wasn't exactly sure what the heck that even meant, creating looks. Turns out, makes a bit of sense in our world of branding and influencers. And on top of all of that, she is an advocate for the deaf community. And also, by the way, she was maybe a boxer? We're actually going to get into a lot of this, because woven through all of these aspects that I just mentioned about Alicia, there are a bunch of online, I'm going to say, partial truths. Because that's how the internet works, right? Actual hard truths and information can be a little difficult to track down with all that online chaos. A lot of the information I found about Alicia suffered from a lot of that, so we're going to set the record straight about cosplayer Alicia Marie by going straight to the source.
Cosplay... This is the way I describe it to people. You start liking something, you start liking a franchise, you start liking a character in a comic book, you're playing a video game, and you just, you know this, you're a nerd.
Yeah.
You love a character so much. You're like, I'm loving this character, to the point where you want to be them.
Yeah.
That's what cosplay is. For me, it just became that sort of thing where I wanted to consume. I love Captain Marvel. I loved Storm because I grew up being her. I loved She-Hulk. I absolutely love Jinx from League of Legends. I think she's hysterical. Even though I'm not that great of a Jinx player, I'm a better Poppy player.
Okay.
I'm a top laner. I have no business in the jungle. I love Mortal Kombat. I am a trash. What do you call it? Trash casual.
Okay.
But I like Mortal Kombat. I like the game. I play it. I'm a story mode girl. I absolutely love the Mylena character and what her background, her lore, and how they flavor her and what she is just in the game. And she's the Empress of the Outworld. And to me, that the whole storyline surrounding her is interesting to me. Now I want to be her. Shao Kahn. He's a badass. Shao Kahn is a badass. I mean, he has reigned terror forever. But I still want to be him. This is how it goes for me. And usually it comes from character art, the character development, and then the game itself. I cannot make a costume of a character I don't care about, I don't play the game, and don't know, or any of that, just because it's popular.
This is the next natural extension for you. You can't just watch it. You can't just play it.
I need to love that character.
You got to step into it.
I need to love it, because, I have people who are like, well, why don't you cosplay this character? Why don't you cosplay that one? I'm like, I don't know what it is. I don't know anything about them. But they might want me to do it because they want to see me do it, or they think I look like the character. I'm like, that's not why I do cosplay. I don't look anything like Shao Kahn, do I? Like, wait a minute.
Well, I've seen you also do Star Trek. Is that also another fan?
Star Trek is emotional for me because this is childhood.
Okay.
Like, I watched Star Trek when I was a kid. When it was like, you know, it was Star Trek. It was like,
so I'm assuming this is Next Generation, or
Next Generation,
you
Next Generation,
okay.
And then the Enterprise, then Enterprise.
Okay.
Like, Enterprise. Whoa.
Yeah.
So
I know,
yeah, kinda, Voyager, yeah. Deep Space Nine. But for me it was TNG and Voyager.
Right.
Those are my two franchises.
Me too. It's like both the captains are still reading physical books and drinking hot caffeinated drinks, right?
When I first started watching Star Trek, I remember thinking, ew, because none of my friends watched Star Trek, and I was like, what is this? But wow, did that show, I can't even describe how it just grabbed me. It spoke so much about like things that are happening in the world. And they were, in so many ways, ahead of everything.
Yeah.
I loved the idea of everybody on a ship from, like, different planets and different species, and everyone's just getting along and doing what they do. Like, oh, there was one race of alien that... I think they breathe, like they have water. What are they called again? It starts with the B.
It's not going to come to me.
They breathe water. And I'm thinking, and they're just like, it's just normal. This dude is sitting next to them at the bar with like a water thing on his face.
The thing I love about it is that it's not just that they're different. It's like there are sometimes difficulties among the differences.
Yes.
And that is how enlightened that they are, is because they're like, okay, but we can still find the respect. We can still find the bridges across the gaps.
Right.
We can still work together. You can bring me down such a huge rabbit hole with Star Trek.
Oh my gosh, same.
So what is your cosplay for Star Trek?
Yeah, so I am... My love of Star Trek goes back very, very far. I would go there. But I started, of course, with Uhura because I like starting with representation. And, of course, Nichelle Nichols is just great. I mean, I was like, I went to San Diego Comic-Con and I did like this. There was a whole like Playboy thing. So we did Playboy, Bunny, Star Trek characters. And, of course, I did Playboy, Playmate Uhura. And it was kind of cheesy and cringe, but I thought it was cute. And everyone liked it. I had my hair like hers. I had the green hoop earrings and the little transponder in her ear. And then after that, I got to go to STLV in Las Vegas. And that started like 10 years ago for me. So I go every year. I've only missed 1 year here and there.
Oh, wow.
But I go every year to Star Trek Las Vegas. I've done a ton of Star Trek cosplays, but the ones that really resonate with the Trek fandom are my Uhura cosplay. And my Seven of Nine.
Oh, okay.
Seven of Nine was one of those characters that I did just because Jeri Ryan is amazing.
Right.
Like, she's amazing and she's an amazing, like, she's nice.
Yeah.
She's actually nice. Like, she's super sweet and humble, and it's just like, wow, you don't expect it. And she's gorgeous, but I decided to do Seven of Nine, just the silver basic suit with the thing underneath, and it, like, went sort of viral-ish. People really liked it. And I was like, oh, people like me as Seven of Nine. So I did that one, and then I started doing Picard. So I'm going to be doing more iterations of Seven of Nine just because I think she's amazing, and also because Picard was just beautiful.
let me ask you, when did cosplay initially start for you? Because I feel like here's my issue with trying to research for you.
Yeah.
It's like, where do I even start? Because you have so many, it almost seems like you've lived so many lives.
Oh my God,
interweaving all at once.
I always say I have 15 different lives.
Right. So where does the cosplay start for you?
Okay. To sort of just abridge everything, I was a fitness pro, and I've written fitness books and DVD series and stuff like that. But you know how I got into fitness? When I was in sixth grade, I loved She-Hulk and Wonder Woman.
Okay. So you see She-Hulk, you see Wonder Woman. Those are two very fitness-oriented.
Yes, but back then, a woman with muscles was a freak.
Okay.
Back then, it was like, why would you want to have muscles like a boy? People used to say that to me.
Yeah.
And I used to be like, no. I want to look like that. So I was in sixth grade, and I got my parents to buy me little mini weights so I could work out in my room so I could look like comic book superheroes.
Sixth grade. Is that your teen years?
Oh,
the
my
gym?
God. Baby. Yeah. Baby.
Oh, wow. Okay.
So, but that's where it started for me. So as I got into fitness as a career and started doing more, I got an invite to San Diego Comic-Con. I was doing my fitness business, all that stuff, and I was like, well, if I'm going to go to San Diego Comic-Con, I'm going to be Storm, and I'm going to be a badass version of Storm. But people loved my Storm cosplay. They absolutely loved it. I loved it. I like being Storm. I was telling a panel earlier, what it felt like to look at Storm my whole life, you know, comic books, whatever, follow her, and then to actually step into her skin. For me, it was like heaven. I never wanted to take it off.
Was that the first time? Pardon? Storm? Was that the first time for Storm?
That was the first time I did a serious cosplay costume.
Okay. So it started in sixth grade.
Before that, when I was younger, I used to make costumes, like looks for costume contests and Halloween and stuff, just for fun. But when I did San Diego Comic-Con that year, I was like, I'm going to take it to the moon. But everybody was like, whoa, whoa. And that just, I was like, this is where I belong. And it got to the point where I was doing so well in cosplay, like conventions were inviting me. I do tons of brand collaborations now. I do character concepts and I build costumes for celebrities. It took over everything. And I think that I realized that like life starts to come full circle in so many ways. Because I was so artistic when I was younger. So this is sort of like, it's like my art, my love of art. And then fitness, because characters are usually jacked.
Yeah.
And then the characters I love, getting to be them. So I've had so much fun with this. Yeah.
So I got to ask you, going back further, so I feel like we've started with a cause, so we just keep going back further through time.
Yes.
Correct me if I'm wrong, former boxer?
Boxer, oh my God, how did you even find that? Oh my God, okay, here's the thing. I was never like a professional boxer, but that somehow snaked its way into my history.
Seriously, okay. Well, let's set the record straight, right?
Yeah,
now.
So we're setting the record straight. I was never a professional boxer. I did spar.
Okay.
And because of that, this is before social media was a thing. There was videos that existed of like me sparring, so people started saying I was a professional boxer, but I learned how to box. I did boxing fitness videos.
It was an extension
boxing
of fitness.
Boxing technique, boxing, because I used to train with Michael Olajide Jr., who was like former world middleweight champion, and he was a friend of mine, so he trained me. We did fitness videos together, and I did like a Gatorade commercial in another country where I was a boxer, and I got knocked out.
Oh.
It was bad. Yeah, she messed up the choreography.
Oh, no.
And you can't mess up the choreography when you're throwing punches, and she knocked me out in the middle of the shoot.
So that raises another curiosity, because I know that you are an advocate for the deaf.
Oh, I'm actually deaf.
Right, because you have a cochlear implant, am I correct?
I have cochlear implants, yeah.
Now, some of the information that's out there said that was related to some of the sparring or boxing or anything. Is that also inaccurate?
No, because I started losing my hearing before that, before I got knocked out.
I'm glad we are having this conversation.
Yeah. It's funny because I remember when I first started losing my hearing, doctors, you know, you want the doctors to say to you, this is why this is happening and this is how we can stop it. But they said, we don't know why your hearing is going, and we really don't know if you're going to lose it all. I eventually did.
Okay.
And that's why when the pandemic started and we had all that time, quote, end quote, I was like, you know what? If I was ever going to do it in life, and plus because so many things in the world were like up in the air, I was like, let's do it. The doctor is like renowned in this particular type of surgery. Did a bunch of tests on my ears, and he said, you're the perfect candidate for this surgery.
Oh, okay.
The only reason I can even have a conversation with you right now in this noise in the background is because of this surgery.
Wow.
And I had it during the pandemic.
So this is, I mean, it's relatively new for you then. I mean, because we just kind of got eased on out of it right now.
The version I have is very, very new.
Really?
It literally, like, I can adjust my ears using my phone.
Okay.
So if I'm somewhere and I don't want to hear anything, I can turn my hearing off using my phone.
Is it too insensitive to even bring up the fact that you cosplay as a Borg and now have...
And now I'm a cyborg!
Yeah.
I do call myself walking technology, and I call myself
good,
a cyborg. I do, yeah, you're fine.
I don't have to shy away from that one.
I'm all about technology, and of course, I love the idea of being bionic.
Yeah. Well, let's bring this all together then, because started with fitness. The fitness had a component of admiring
nerdery
superheroes. You eventually at one point became an author. You are an author. You did write a book at one point, a fitness book.
Okay, this is really funny. So the timeline is sort of different. I wrote the book in 2012. This is when cosplay was still a hobby for me.
Okay.
It was when people were really starting to get interested in their butts.
Okay.
To the butts
Did
got
they
bigger.
Ever really get started interested in the butts, or is it? I mean, I'm a 90s kid. I heard about liking big butts, and you could not lie.
It did. It just, the type of big butt they wanted. So, whenever I would do fitness articles, that was the one thing people would ask me about all the time. Like,
you got
your butt's a little tight butt like that.
Okay.
So, I decided to write a book called The Booty Bible, and it was like, at
you
the time, people were like, what are you doing? But it was like, it was literally for fun, and I think that more than anything, the title was what made people laugh. It's The Booty Bible.
But you know what? We've covered your favorite cosplays. I did sneak in my Star Trek question here.
Yes, you did.
And again, maybe we're setting the record straight here, but mm-hmm. in your bio, there was one line that also piqued my interest. It mm-hmm. just said, you have had some gigs in the past, quote, creating looks for characters. Mm-hmm. Does that sound familiar?
Creating looks for, you mean for celebrities?
It just said creating looks. I don't know what that means.
This is interesting. I need to do a better job at researching what's out there about myself, but brand collaborations is a brand new type of field of work.
Interesting.
It's still new because it's a bounce off of social media, if you think about it.
Is this in the influencer spectrum?
It kind of is, but we worked, I work directly with brands to either put together a character for something that they're promoting.
That's interesting.
Yeah, and it can either be related to a video game that's coming out soon, or it can be related to a property that they own. But the space is generally that they want content around a content that can sort of attach to something they're
okay.
promoting, because it's a business right now, you know.
This is so in the vein of content creation.
Yeah,
okay,
it's very much a new, brand new field. And, I mean, there's a lot of money to me because marketing is done this way now. Marketing's very grassroots. It's very word of mouth. It's very what's happening out there.
Right.
And so companies want to also attach to people who are doing things out there. And me, I just like making things that make me laugh or things that I like. And because I did that anyway, companies just started noticing. So I remember I did some funny videos with a friend of mine, and I got contacted by Disney. They're like, we have a new show coming out called Willow, and we want you to, you know, come up with something.
Run with it.
And they're like, pitch us something. So I think I sent them two or three pitches, and there was one they really liked, so I actually ended up contracting with them, paperwork, all the stuff, and I created an actual, like, short video that was meant to promote Willow, but it was funny because it was based on the whole idea of barbarians and sorcerers in the woods, and it was just, everything's under a minute, so for me, that's really easy to do, but I have fun with it because it's ultimately extremely creative. Costumes are involved, I get to write things, and just come up with stuff off the top of my head that I think makes me laugh. Sometimes it hits with the company. Sometimes the company's like, try again, send it back.
Right.
But I'm very confident.
So, okay, content creation in the realm of creating a quote-unquote look.
Yeah.
I like that answer. I was not expecting that.
Mm-hmm.
Cosplayer, fitness expert.
Yeah.
D&D. D&D? Okay,
D&D.
So what life have we not covered at this point?
Dungeons and Dragons. So, in the nerdery realm,
yeah.
there are certain things that kind of stand out to me and certain things that don't. I've never really watched Doctor Who, so I can't really talk about Doctor Who nerdery. Can't speak on. People ask me, I'm like,
you know,
I can't speak on Doctor Who.
I stopped trying.
Yeah.
I see plenty of cosplays that I have no idea what it is. I can still admire the craft, right?
Yes.
But, you know,
I don't
know every anime that has ever existed.
I don't know every. Anime is another weak spot for
right,
me. I'm video
right.
games and comic books mostly, and then
yeah.
pop culture, like TV. But I used to see people playing Dungeons and Dragons, but I didn't have any friends who played it. So I would just watch people on Twitch sometimes. I'd be like, oh,
yeah.
that looks really interesting, but due to my hearing, I didn't think it was possible, so I held myself back from getting into it. I had a friend named TJ Storm who does a ton of mocap for video games, but he also dungeon masters on the side, and he told me, I'm going to make you play. And I'm like, no, I'm not going to play. I'm going to embarrass myself. He's like, no, you're playing. He said, as soon as you, right after you get your ear surgery, figure it out, and then you're playing in the first game. And I was so nervous. But I played it, and I had so I played a barbarian because it was melee, okay, which is still to this day my favorite class.
I was curious.
My favorite class. Well, I like martial characters, so paladins, monks, and barbarians, and not fighters too much, but that started it for me. And then right after I started playing, the pandemic hit. So what do you think I did the entire pandemic?
You played Dungeons.
I played D&D and made costumes.
You
but I played
that,
D&D
like D20 and
all throughout the week, hours a day. It got me through the pandemic. The communities I was joining in D&D, the people I was meeting on D&D Discords, it just opened up a whole new world to me of people who like creativity and telling stories and becoming characters, maybe not just putting on the costumes, but becoming, you know, that elf from, you know what I mean, or gnome or halfling that happens to be like a barbarian with a giant great axe. Like, yeah, that's just it's allowed me to take my creativity to a performance level with friends in like a safe way. Like, you don't feel like weird about it. I don't know how to describe it, but it got me through the pandemic, and it has been like my love. Do you know Todd Stashwick?
Oh, yeah, Star Trek.
Star Trek, yeah, yeah, he's here. So we've played in games together.
Oh, really?
Okay. He's a big D&D nerd, and he DMs. We both play barbarians, but he's a way better barbarian than me. He's so good as barbarian, but he got Jerry Ryan to play.
Oh, that's awesome.
He's on the convention tour this whole summer, so I was happy that I at least had one convention that we were converging, so I got to see him. Like, ah! We saw Frakes, and I was like, do you play D&D? And he's like, no.
Well, that's what he was saying on the panel. He says he's working on it, and he's slowly pulling him in. Thank you, Alicia Marie, cosplayer, fitness expert, booty author, and a lot more, but not a professional boxer. You heard it here. You can find Alicia on all the socials, generally under the name Alicia Marie Body. That is going to do it for this episode of Northwest Nerd, the Northwest Pop Culture Podcast. Our theme music is by the Hoot Hoots, and I'm pop culture journalist Dire Oxley.
Unless, of course, somebody comes up with 6-minute abs, then you're in trouble, huh?
No! No, not 6! I said 7! Nobody's coming up with 6. Who works out in 6 minutes? You won't even get your heart going, not even a mouse on a wheel.
Good point.
7's the key number here. Think about it. Right. 7 elevens, 7 dwarfs, 7 chipmunks twirling on a branch, eating lots of sunflowers on my uncle's ranch. You know that old children's tale from the sea? Step into my office.
Why?
Because you're fired.